heroes walk among us. They are in our midst every day. At Heroes in Our Midst, we find them, we celebrate them, and we learn from them. Heroes in Our Midst is a podcast about the power inside the heart, the human behind the story, and the collection of idiosyncrasies that both make us unique and bond us together through a common humanity. Join us as we are inspired, as we learn, and as we are challenged to be better by the heroes in our midst and the stories that they tell. Hi, I'm Michelle Sawatsky-Coop. Well, we have found ourselves another hero. Kelsey Waugh had just wrapped up her fourth year of studies at the University of Manitoba, majoring in plant biotechnology, when her and I got to sit down and chat back in mid-June. She had just won 4 gold medals at the 2020 U Sport National Championships in the 50-meter, 100-meter, and 200-meter breaststroke, and the 200-meter individual medley. And both 200-meter races, she won in record-setting fashion. In fact, her 200-meter breaststroke was the fastest time in the world in 2020. She was named U Sport Female Swimmer of the Year, and also was recently named the U Sports Female Athlete of the Year. It was just before the Olympic qualifier that COVID came along, and I asked her to take us to that time, swimming her very best and being told that her dream would have to wait.
First of all, I'm super excited to be here and be on this podcast. So before COVID hit and swimming and training stopped, we were about 10 days out. I'd started tapering and I was getting into the final preparation stage. I just completed U Sport Championships about 6 weeks ago with no rest, no taper, no anything. And I was swimming best time. So I was right there on the top of my game. And then Olympic trials was canceled about 10 days before it was supposed to start, and that's where it ended.
Okay, so you were obviously right there. You had the times you needed. Can you take us to that day? I mean, none of us know what that's like, 10 days before really what you were training for, and it got stopped. So what was that day like, and how exactly did you hear about it?
Yeah, it was super overwhelming. There was probably a span of 10 days where we heard trials were being postponed and then trials canceled, Olympics postponed, Canada pulling out of the Olympics. So that was in like a very short span of time. It was super overwhelming, and being stuck at home during that time did not help at all with all the stress and anxiety. I was just leaning on my family for some support during that time, and they really helped me.
You wonder even how to sort of get your head around that. Who were you getting sort of messages from? Was it from your coach, from some teammates? Obviously, you said your family. What were some of the sentiments that you were maybe trying to take in to survive those moments?
Yeah, my coach really helped me along. Adrian helped me a lot. My family was there. During that time, I think I just spent a lot of time reflecting on what I had accomplished up until that point and just trying to appreciate what I got out of the year up until that point.
Kelsey, how old are you?
I'm 21.
21. Is there a sort of a feeling when something like this happens, I'm still really young, I'm okay? Or is there urgency in the sport of swimming at 21?
I mean, 21 is still on the younger to middle age for swimming. So at that point, I think I was just super disappointed as to what happened. And that's like all I was thinking about. But I mean, I'll have next year and hopefully it'll go well.
So explain to us a little bit, in a sport where 1/100th of a second actually matters. So now what happens to your training? Obviously it's possible the program changes. What do you do?
We haven't really talked too much about what's going to happen next, but as soon as the pools open up and we can get back in the pool and gym, we'll just get right back at it and continue on the path wherever it goes.
Okay, so we know where you're at now. We know sort of where you kind of sit in the swimming world. I'd love for us to get that perspective on future Olympian. That is still your dream and your goal, and it's very possibly not very far away. So let's go to when you started swimming. Where are you from? Why swimming? Did you do other sports? Maybe take us back to the beginning and tell us a bit of your story.
Yeah, so I got into swimming because I was doing swim lessons and I was moving through the programs really, really quickly. And one of the instructors, like, she's good. You should put her in a competitive program. So I think I was like 6 at the time. So my parents tried to put me in a program, but I was still too young. So I think I repeated a level of swim lessons or something. And then the following year, I was 7 and I started my first swim program. And I actually hated it at the beginning. The water was too cold and I was in Highland Dance at the time. So I think Highland Dance was more of a priority in my little happy life at the time. And I almost quit swimming due to dance, but then some of my instructors kept telling me, no, stick with it, stick with it. And I just kept hearing one more year, one more year, one more year, and now I'm here.
So it wasn't even your favorite thing. Was it still super early mornings? I always hear about that. Swimmers get up some ridiculous hours. Was it like that when you were that little?
No,
No.
I was super fortunate to never have to do early mornings. Yeah. So I started doing morning practices when I was probably 15 or 16, and morning was 8 a.m. in the pool.
So not so bad. So when did you said one more year, one more year. Which was sort of the one more year where you discovered, okay, we've got something here, or maybe your parents did, or your coaches did. How old were you when this sort of became really serious?
I didn't really get serious about it until I was probably 13, 14, but I started to really enjoy swimming a little bit more when I was 11, 12 years oldish.
Is the water sort of home for you?
Yeah, I do really like it. I like getting into practice every day and seeing how fast I can go each day, and I love lifting in the gym and getting stronger that way too.
And breaststroke, you said, is your real strength, and now individual medley. How did you come upon that? Like when you're young, did you do everything? How, tell us a little bit about that journey, just swimming wise.
Yeah, so I definitely did all of the strokes when I was younger, but when I was probably 11 or 12-ish, I definitely thought I was like a freestyler backstroker, and I absolutely hated breaststroke. And I think it had to do something with that it was really slow and I would be like last at practice in it, so I just avoided it at all costs. And then when I was 13 or 14, I think 14, at Canada Summer Games, I was much younger. I was like 5 years younger than the maximum age, and I somehow came out of it with a bronze medal in the 200-meter breaststroke. So I
Oh.
think that's when it really hit that I was good at breaststroke.
Well, even the fact that you were like 5 years younger than the maximum age was obviously a bit of a light bulb saying this kid's got something special. Sometimes we wonder when we watch an athlete who, like you say, either is 5 years younger or has that special ingredient. What was it that made you fast in the pool?
I'm really not sure about it, but my coach tells me that when he first saw me when I was super young swimming, he couldn't believe how good at streamlining I was, and he just tells me I have a really good feel for the water.
Now, you talked about your coach. Let's talk about your journey getting into elite swimming and getting into super competitive swimming. And it gets tougher and tougher. And I think a lot of parents wonder about this. And well, a lot of us as athletes who've gone through it too, and we've had some tough coaches. And it's not all like great job, great job, great job, and then you win Olympic gold medals. Like it's, I mean, you have to be challenged to really go beyond what you think you can do. So that took a bit of a turn for you and your coach. So talk about a little bit, maybe tell us that story, where it began, when you started swimming for this coach, and lead us through that.
Yeah, so I joined the Bisons program when I was 9 years old, and I've been through the program this whole time. But my coach really came into play when I was 15. I think halfway through grade 10, I moved up into his group and started swimming with him. We have definitely both come a really long way. Becoming the high performance athlete that I am, I never dreamed about it. I just took it one step at a time every single day and got to this point.
Now, your coach is Vlasic Cerny. Now, he has turned out incredible swimmers. You're still working with him because you know he's the best and he's just getting great things out of you. But what was difficult about swimming for him? What was his approach in coaching you when you started?
I was a very like happy-go-lucky kind of crazy child. And he was definitely a very black and white coach. Like, you do it my way. There's like one way to do it. And I just remember when I first started swimming with him, we'd always do like long 800 with fins. That was not my style. I got very bored. So I would leave after about 200 meters and just go stand in the showers until I thought everybody was done. He definitely knew, but I really appreciate that he was super patient with me and didn't get mad at me right away. Okay. Because that would have not lasted very long. He was just always a pretty black and white coach. And then last year, we had some good talks and some things, I don't know, were happening and changing. And I'm really happy that he's really changed and opened up and is always asking me, like, how are you today? Like, what's working? Like, what can I do better? And he's always really wanting to learn and get better as a coach. So I think we've really grown and gotten better as in our coach-athlete relationship.
And so what were some of your feelings? Like, did you get to a point where you sort of just had to say something to him to make it better? Were you ever at a point where you're like, this is too hard?
Yeah, for sure. I was just at a point where I never felt like I could share my true feelings of, like, I was scared. I was trying to hide my anxiety for racing and emotion with that. And I was trying to be like tough on the outside. And then we just hit a breaking point. And then I kind of just told him everything, and he took it so well. And he's really made a change since then. And our relationship has just gotten much stronger, and I'm so appreciative of it.
And there are a lot of people listening that are athletes, and I myself went through sort of some tough regime in the world of volleyball. And what I really want to know is, weren't you scared to say everything? Like you just said, I just finally had to say everything. Or were you at a point where you weren't even worried anymore what would happen because you couldn't go on the way it was? Like, how was that feeling? And when did you get the courage to say, I'm just saying everything?
It definitely took a couple of weeks to build up the courage to say something. Yeah. I didn't know how to say anything correctly and what to do. So I decided to write a letter instead so I could say everything how I wanted to perfectly. And then we talked after, and it was awesome. Like, he shared his thoughts too, and I shared mine, and it was really great.
Kelsey, that's great advice for some young athletes, because I think what happens, unfortunately, a lot of the time is when things aren't right. And, you know, and how was your swimming in this time when things weren't right? Just take us to when, before you wrote the letter and before the change happened and it got better, what was it like up on the block? What was the negative feel of that led eventually to you needing a change?
I think my feelings standing on the blocks were I was just so nervous and so anxious and filled with emotion, but I felt like I had to hide it and I couldn't let it come out. And it was just building up. So racing was a little bit shaky at that point in time.
Well, when you're training so hard and you're not getting results and you're not enjoying the moments, you must have been wondering, why in the world am I doing this?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. There was definitely some moments of doubt, and like, I definitely thought a lot about how do other swimmers manage this? Like, what am I doing wrong that I can't manage this?
Now, do you think, were you more afraid of his reaction if you didn't do well, or were you just more afraid to like fail in the pool? Where was that anxiety coming from, do you think?
For sure, both of those things. I think mostly it was fear of failure, but I didn't know how to like say or express that or like get help. Yeah. Especially when I'm on the other side of the world and don't really have all of the people around me that I usually do.
Yeah. Now, you had teammates on your swim team, even if you're doing individual. Did you notice, were there some other swimmers? Did you ever talk to some of your teammates about, whew, this is tough, or I'm not loving this anymore? Or did you feel you couldn't do that?
So it was at Worlds with like the national team. So I don't train or like swim or meet those people regularly throughout the year. So we didn't really have, like, we were all pretty much new to each other, and I didn't really know many people, so I didn't really feel comfortable to say my feelings at that time. Yeah.
But that's a big part of the story, because it makes perfect sense that you wouldn't feel comfortable. Yeah. Plus, those are pretty big emotions. That's a pretty big deal to say some of that stuff. And, you know, I mean, and like I say, those of us who are athletes, we've lived that. We've lived in a high performance setting where what the coach says goes. You respect the coach so much that you don't want to question what they're doing or ever say anything that might be, oh, this isn't working for me, because you don't want to offend and you don't want to jeopardize anything like that. So some athletes would just stay in that. I mean, you're 21 now. You were even younger then. You were ahead of your time in swimming, but also maturity. Man, Kelsey, like, that took some serious courage. You probably didn't even realize how mature that was that you did that. So you write the letter and he reacted well. What was it like? Like, did you give him the letter and watch him read it, or did you give it to him and then you met after?
I gave it to him and then we met a couple days later. I definitely was able to build up the courage a little bit more because I was able to talk to Rhiannon Lear as well, who was one of his previous athletes. And it was really helpful talking to her, seeing, oh, like, it's not just me and it's not just my feelings, and that it's pattern and it's happened before.
And Dr. Adrienne Leslie Toogood, who's one of our dear friends and one of the starters of Heroes in Our Midst. And tell me the effect that Adrienne had on you and when you chatted with her as a sports psychologist. Now that's where we sort of bring this into the story. And what how important, obviously very important part that it played, but how did she lead you and help you with this? And what were some of the things she kind of said?
She definitely was super helpful. Like, she actually helped me come up with the idea of writing a letter so that I could say everything I wanted exactly how I wanted it. And she was always just there to listen and help give me some good feedback and good ideas to help me get through it.
So you meet with your coach. Did you ever get to a point where you were going to quit swimming?
Oh, many, many years ago, a couple of times, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the pressure was really getting to me competing on, like, the international level, and I just didn't know how to deal with it, and I didn't like those feelings, and I didn't know if I could continue with having those same feelings of anxiety and emotion on the international stage.
Now, this is really showing us where we feel that you are a hero to us, because it wasn't perfect for you. You had struggles and you had those times and you almost didn't stay with it, but you did. So what was the biggest thing when you met with your coach? What were some of the biggest things that you guys talked about?
For sure, communication. And I think the big part with communication was communication with no judgment.
Now, are there practical things? Are there things that he's actually literally doing that is making a difference or saying that kind of thing? And how about you from your end? I mean, often when we have issues, we have to look in the mirror too. So how have you guys both worked maybe more specifically on making that communication better?
Yeah, so we've definitely been reflecting more with each other, like, what went really well this week? What could we have done better this week? And he'd always, like, assess where I'm at before practices would start and say, can we really push it today? And like how much are you up for doing today? And he was always there, and he just seemed a lot more open and available to talk to about anything. And he was so supportive of, like, anything that I would say, and he'd really help me find a solution to those things.
Just incredible, really, coming from someone who's he's coached for a very long time. So he kind of came from an old school and even different country, right? And so a different regime. It's really incredible to hear how this story turned and how you were brave enough to sort of start the turn. And he was actually also brave enough not to have to stay. I think as coaches, sometimes we are afraid to change what we're doing because we feel it's been working. It's been, look what I've been doing. What if it gets worse? What if I'm too soft, right? What would you say to maybe some coaches or athletes that say, really, like, we're going to talk to our athletes and ask them how they feel? What's the positive in that? And what is the strength in that rather than the weakness in that?
Yeah, so definitely the strength in that is by asking, you build a stronger connection and a relationship, and it becomes a pattern and habit, and you get really comfortable with admitting like exactly how you're feeling at that time. So at the beginning of the year when he started that, when there wasn't much stress or anything happening, I could say how I felt. And then as times like leading into tapers and leading up to big meets, he would ask and I felt really comfortable to say exactly how I felt.
Talking about how you felt on the block before, now you're able to say how you feel. Has it changed? I mean, how is that different for you? How do you approach that, getting up on that block? And obviously it's worked. It's been working amazing because you've had some incredible swims and results.
Yeah, so we definitely talked about what I need from him before races and stuff. So we talked about that like months before big races, and he always like kept note of, oh, what should I tell her in these moments, and like what should I say, how should I act around this. So at U Sports, he did just that, and he gave me like the little bit of confidence that I needed before getting up on the blocks. And he'd always tell me like, you're ready, like you've done so much great work, you can do it, just do it.
Let's talk about the U Sport Championships, because you did really well. Tell us what you raced in at U Sport, what you won, and how that went for you.
Yeah, so I raced the 50, 100, and 200 meter breaststroke and the 200 IM, and our team did two relays.
Okay. And the results were?
I got 4 gold medals in my individual races with 3 U Sport records. All of my races were personal best times except my 200 IM with like no rest, no taper. It was awesome.
Incredible. So really swimming your very best. And I know you're humble, but leading up to this time, what had your results been like before in the years prior to this last U Sport?
My results were good for what I was training in those previous years. Mm-hmm. I just felt like I had a really solid 8 to 10 weeks of training before U Sports where I had no competing. So I didn't really know what was exactly going to happen, but I knew I had done amazing work in the pool and I just wanted to race to what I trained for. Yeah.
If you had to put a word to how you feel now swimming, like how this change and this teamwork and this camaraderie between you and your coach, how that's changed and that you guys survived it and you're totally thriving in this environment now. Could you put a word or sort of a feeling or a sentence to like how it feels now when you walk into the pool and you get ready to compete?
Honestly, pure happiness and excitement. And I just want to get in and see how fast I can go.
Isn't this so exciting? Can you imagine? I mean, Vlasic coaches how many more swimmers than just you? And this is going to just snowball, Kelsey. Pure happiness. You don't hear that many elite athletes have that feeling because there's so much pressure on you. And you're not feeling that now because every day you're going in with a positive mindset. Obviously, great disappointment with the 2020 Olympics not happening. COVID really has changed our lives. So in these last 3 months, what's life been like for you? And how are you now envisioning working toward 2021?
So the first month or two was terrible. Like I was not well and almost like in a state of depression. I did a lot of baking and eating to
you weren't the only one, unfortunately.
Yeah, to overcome it. But now I'm definitely on a better side and I'm just like, what's happened in the past is done. Like all I can do is keep moving forward. So I'm just working towards getting back to where I was. I've been getting back into training. I have a pool in my backyard, so I've been swimming there. And I've been doing some weights and going for a lot of bike rides.
I have some rapid fire questions that we actually have had a lot of fun with. And we'd love to do this with you. Tell us about a book you would recommend to other people and why.
My most favorite book that I've read in the the past, I don't know how long ago, was Open Heart, Open Mind by Claire Hughes. I absolutely love the story. It's really cool to see, to like hear her story leading up to it, because all what the public sees is the results, but there's always like something deeper within, and it's super cool to hear the story of her down under where nobody else hears about it.
What is one piece of advice you want to pass along to others?
A piece of advice I'd pass along would be to be patient and trust the process and really enjoy the journey, even if it's good, bad. And I found that the struggles always make the achievements even better.
What is your favorite failure?
I really like failing when I know that I've put my best effort into it, because then I can always learn from that.
What is a quote you love?
I was told this quote before leading before U Sports, which was like perfect timing. And it was, oh, she who has a large enough why can bear anyhow.
What's your favorite sound?
Waterfalls or being in the middle of a rainforest.
So you, even if you're in the water all the time, waterfalls still one of your favorite sounds, hey?
Yeah, I like waterfalls.
I love it. Okay, and to end, Kelsey, we're going to talk about two or three people who have influenced you and how did they impact your life. Talk about, I mean, you are a hero to us already in your young life. And who are heroes to you? Who's impacted your life?
I think the first people who have really impacted my life are my parents, obviously, and my coach.
What made them awesome? How did they impact you?
They were always there for me, and they never pushed me to do anything. They were always there and said, we'll support you in whatever you would like to do. I found it super helpful when I could come home from training and I'd be like away from the pool. They wouldn't ask me about it or anything. Mm-hmm. They just asked me, oh, how was your day? Yeah. And like, I could just come home to my family, and they wouldn't talk about swimming, because swimming was just my life at the pool, and they were just my family when I got home.
We've talked a lot about your coach today, and we've gotten the story, and just we do think that's an incredible journey you've had together. So he's impacted you in many ways. When you maybe are my age, which we won't go there, but you know, 20 years down the road, let's say 20 years past the Olympics, you look back at your journey with your coach. How will he have impacted you, do you think? And how will that impact the future even of your life?
He for sure is one of the reasons why I love swimming so much. His philosophy is a lot different in the pool, where we don't do the crazy volume that other programs do. And I just would not be able to do the crazy volume like that. He's been so supportive recently, and he just gives me exactly what I need to get better, and he really recognizes that.
For me, what's inspiring about your coach is that he was willing to change and willing to do that after a long coaching career already, because he knew it would make him better. I just feel like that's an incredible moment for him and for you. Thank you so much for joining us and telling us your story. We appreciate your openness and your honesty, and I think you've inspired us today. So thanks for joining Heroes in Our Midst.
Thanks.
That swimmer Kelsey Waugh, poised to qualify for the 2021 Summer Olympics, and still confident that her path will lead her there. But she never would have been if she hadn't had the courage to say what she needed to say to her coach. And she did. But not only did she have to write it, he had to hear it and do something about it. They had to find a way to work together to have any chance of qualifying at all, which means work from both sides. So why not hear his side of the story? I'm excited to tell you that swim coach Vlastik Cherney himself will be our very next guest right here on Heroes in Our Midst.